April 18th, welcome back to Edgeworth, presented by Stacks. I'm Zach Phillips, joining here on this Thursday to close out the regular season by Matt Alber, So Money Sports. We'll be breaking down all six games on tonight's NHL schedule, giving out best bets, answering questions from the chat. The one thing we will not be doing here today, or a quick reminder, is talking about series prices, playoff prices. Those will not be coming up during today's show, because you're going to have to watch to the videos coming out here on this channel. We're going to have a busy next couple of days as an Edgework team as we go through all of those. Different markets that we can find, unique markets, prices on player props, leading scorers of series, exact scores, all that kind of stuff. We're going to be breaking it all down in our series previews that are coming out on this channel over the next few days. So none of that here today. We'll take the questions and maybe we could answer them in those series previews, but that will not be happening today on today's show. I'm putting my foot down on that. It's not happening. But before we get into today's six games, before we break those down, I want to remind people, if you haven't already, you should be signed up at the Stacks Betting Exchange. If you're sick of getting limited and profiled, Stacks is a unique sports betting exchange that offers higher limits and better pricing. Stacks offers a fair and real-time marketplace for users to bet on the outcome of sporting events. Offering better odds in a peer-to-peer marketplace, Stacks is the best option for anyone who wants to wager on live sports. So make sure to add Stacks to your list of outs and sign up today. The option is yours at Stacks. And yes, the option was mine yesterday as Albert and I were messaging ahead of the games and ended up going on Leafs quickly before we saw some of the Tampa news, grabbed some good prices there. And it didn't matter because at the end of the day, we were betting on the Toronto fucking Maple Leafs. So, of course, they were going to let us down. But you know what? It was easy to do. It was easy to find positions, and it was easy to find the best number in market because I was using the Stacks app. So, at least if I was going to be giving money to anybody yesterday, it was with Stacks. So, I mean, Albert, you got anything to say about the events that occurred last night for us separately there?
Yeah, I think the best part of that entire exchange, right? Like, we were messaging during warmups. I kind of had a feeling before warmups looking at it that Tampa had the ability to pull a couple of guys and went, you know, if they, like, it's not going to be Kucherov. I think we all kind of knew that. But, like, they pull, like, maybe Sorelli or a Point and a Hedman, which they easily could do. Like, Toronto plus 120 is pretty good in a game that neither team really gives a shit about, right? Like, flip coins at plus 120. Flip coins at plus 120 all day. And I think what kind of sums that up is me saying, well, now that we bet this, the worst part of it is I actually have to watch this game. And you were just like, no, the worst part of this is now you have money on the Leafs. And that obviously came to fruition rather quickly.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I envy So Money sitting there with his, I envy both of you guys. I didn't even bother putting the X up. Albert's got the P, So Money's got the Y. So Money's just sitting there looking pretty, hair's perfect. He's smiling, getting ready for the playoffs. You're feeling good about yourself right now?
Life's good, man. Life's good. there's lots of positives with the Canucks right now. Really like how this team finished the stretch. They actually dealt with adversity, which was something that I was worried about. They got some injuries, which was another thing I was worried about. It's really hard to go a whole season staying completely healthy. So some injuries came, adversity came, and they weathered the Oilers. They got a matchup that is a little tricky, but it should be okay. We'll talk more about that later. But good to go, man. Life's good.
Last thing I want to ask you, So Money, before we get into the games, were you touting baseball in the chat yesterday? What was going on there? Are we chasing because Rob called you No Money?
No, we're never chasing. But since Rob did call me No Money, I think it's time that I kind of stepped up my game a little bit, right? And kind of showed a bit more of a diversified portfolio. So I think that, so that No Money comment, it stunned deep, but it also showed that sometimes you got to step up your game, and that's what's going to be happening.
All right. Well, if you're watching right now and you haven't already, you got to step up your game and you got to hit that like button on today's stream. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't as well. And So Money, I mean, I talked about maybe a little bit of touting going on in the chat yesterday. Well, if I'm going to go full tout myself here, we got a 2-0 day on the show yesterday. So over the last 9 bets, if we're just going to look at those, we're 8-1 in our last 9 bets right now. not bad for us gearing up for the playoffs. Kind of, you know, head the opposite direction of the Maple Leafs, who tailed off there. So that for us brings us to 345, 373, and 17 on the season. A 0.7% ROI this year's regular season. We're up 5.4 units, but you know what? That's a lot of bets from a lot of different creators throughout the course of the season. Live every day, Monday through Friday, taking on game day prices, and we finish up money. So if you bet every single thing that we bet at the same units that we bet them, you finish up money on the season. So that's my little bit of touting here this morning. I had to do it because we got it back together on the last 2 days, but we still got one more to go, and hopefully we can keep it in that direction here for the final day. And we will start that with the Vancouver-Winnipeg game, where we see the Jets right now -122. We see the Canucks currently sitting at +115, and we're seeing 5.5s across the board. There's a row 6 sitting out there on the bet stamp screen, but 5.5s elsewhere. So, Money, what are your thoughts on your Vancouver Canucks on the road here tonight against Winnipeg, and where the price currently sits?
Yeah, so I did make a play on this, including, and I also made a play on the under in the Cleveland Guardians Boston Red Sox game under 9. I do have a play on this game. And it goes, there's so one thing you got to be careful about, and we saw this yesterday as well, is that there's a bunch of narratives, right? There's narratives you got to worry about. There's lineup news, so it essentially becomes betting on the preseason right now with regular season limits. So there's a lot of advantages to be had. You just got to stay on top of the news as you would do during the preseason for the Canucks. I don't anticipate Demko starting. I'd be shocked if he starts, right? So you're going to see Casey DeSmith in there. So let's start there. So firstly, with Casey DeSmith, he's played well. The team plays well in front of him. Yes, he's not Demko, but it's not as significant of a drop off as it should be away from Demko. Winnipeg, nothing to play for. Canucks, nothing to play for. Both teams they've done what they need to do down the stretch. They've worked on their games. Both have had a pretty similar trajectory with the way that the season has gone. And I'm sure both are pretty content with where they are at the season, at this point in the season. So there's nothing to show here. It is 5.5. It is plus money 5.5. So as long as we can get the plus money 5.5, I'm okay with it. Obviously, if these two teams were okay in terms of if these two teams were playing like a week ago, then obviously I wouldn't be playing the under 5.5. So, assuming Demko doesn't go, even with Casey DeSmith, I'm fine with the under 5.5. I see Ron in the chat there with Demko wanting to play, and if he does play, then it's just better for our ticket, right? So assuming Casey DeSmith, I like that under 5.5 plus money. And if Demko plays, then our ticket just becomes a little bit more valuable.
Okay, so we'll lock in the under 5.5 +105. There's a lot of plus money out there. So if that's what you're looking for, if you're listening back later, if you're watching this after the fact, not in real time here, bunch of plus money's out there for us. We're going to grab a +105. Albert, I know that this is a game that you were kind of digging into a little bit as well, just kind of waiting for some of the lineup news, maybe waiting for one of these two teams to become playable at some point here.
Yeah, first off, I definitely like the look to the under, right? It's like, even with that, kind of like he was saying with preseason, you should still get a goalie matchup of at least a Smith versus Brassois, which is pretty solid there. As far as the side goes, and look, it's kind of been talked about the last few days with, like, obviously Carolina pulling a bunch of guys, like, but a lot of these teams just can't, right? And it's like, we'll talk about it in a minute with another game, but Winnipeg's a team that can't. And they have the space to pull a bunch of guys and kind of bring in a bunch of call-ups here. So obviously it's not really able to play right now, but there is a chance that the Canucks at plus money become a really good bet here. Just kind of one of those you got to watch and to see what's going to happen, who's going to play. But I'm going to be watching for it because there's a chance that with what could happen, like Vancouver doesn't really have the ability to sit a lot of guys, but Winnipeg sure does.
This is going to be another Leafs Lightning with us, Albert, isn't it? We're going to be watching this all night. We're going to see the number. We're going to see the number sitting there. Say we got to do it. We got to do it, and then we're just going to get. We're going to get fucked around, aren't we?
Yeah, it's going to be 7:30, and we're going to be Shifley out, Morrissey out, Ehlers out. Just everybody that matters is going to be out, and it's not going to matter because their AHL team is going to win. I don't even remember what that final score was last night, to be honest. 6-3, was it? But like
6-4.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go.
Made it a game. Made it a game.
Yeah. Be honest, right, when Tavares scored that goal, did you think that was Matthews at first? Because I did for about a second until you saw him. But I thought that was him.
No, I did not. I knew exactly where he was on the ice, but that's also, I watch every single game, so that's probably a little bit different. All right, there you go. One bet locked in. If you want to see all the bets, we'll recap them at the very end of the show. Don't forget that as well. You can head over to the Betstamp app in the Find Better section as Edgework HQ. You can find it there. And just another reminder, I'm going to just keep doing this because you know what? There's not enough likes, so keep hitting the like button. Try to wean off it and not ask you guys as much throughout the end of the regular season. But here right now, we're heading into the playoffs. Get those numbers up. These are rookie numbers right now. We need playoff type numbers in the chat. Hit the like button if you're watching live. Let's keep it moving here. Another Western game. We're jumping around a little bit, but we're going to head out to Calgary where the Flames are hosting the San Jose Sharks. And we've got the Flames right now, minus 261. The Sharks plus 230. There's 6.5 at like minus 110, minus 107, minus 103. There's a couple of those numbers out right now. There's a sixes in the minus 125 trending into the minus 130 range. So, Money, what interest do you have in this game tonight?
So, just like how I played the over in the LA Angels Tampa Bay Rays game at 8.5, I do like this over here as well. I played it at 6 and some 6.5s. I think there's some plus money 6.5s, right? If I'm right there. Yeah, so plus money 6.5 or 6.5 up to -105, I think is good. That's where I played. So this is basically this game is basically the opposite of the Canucks Winnipeg game, right? These two teams, nothing to play for. They are probably gonna sit some guys, but both these teams are just running and gunning right now. There's no method to their defensive abilities right now at all. So neither team has any interest in playing any sort of structured hockey. They're just playing, and they're playing pond hockey. They're playing out the string. So I do think that this game should be very open, and that's where that is where I played. It should keep moving up throughout the day. So I think it's good to lock that in now.
Over 6.5 plus 100. There's a few different plus monies out there as well that you could find. So it should be pretty available to people. Those are on some major sports books as well. Albert, do you have any interest in this game? Any thoughts on this one, or is it just another one on the schedule?
Yeah, I also bet the over in the LA Angels Tampa game while we were sitting here. Gotta tell so many. we're a hockey show. Forgot for a second.
Yeah.
I have nothing on this game. Like, even just looking at the side, right? Like, I don't know how anyone could possibly lay minus 260 with a Calgary team here. But at the same time, like, do you really want to bet the Sharks in the last game of the year? I mean, it's certainly Sharks are nothing. Pass. I'm staying away.
Okay. Yeah, I know. That's what looking at some of these prices at the end is like. Is this something I would want to do on the team with the big favorite, but also on the other side, do I have any interest in getting involved on the Sharks or Coyotes or et cetera?
And then
it's just like, really.
Can you stomach it? I mean, it's really like, I mean, you look at some of these games, right? It's like, there's only one side you can really possibly play. And it's like, do I really just want to do this? Do I really want to be betting on the Sharks? No.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to.
Yeah.
So now they're going to win.
Yeah, exactly. By two or more as well. We should be betting.
Yeah, it's gonna be like
-1.5. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the Kraken Wilds game here. It is the 7 o'clock game. If we're looking at Minnesota right now, hosting Seattle, we see Minnesota -148, the Kraken +134, and a few different numbers out there right now. But mostly basically 5.5s and some of the 6s. Matt, we'll go to you first on this game. Any thoughts on where this number currently sits at for the final matchup of the season between these two teams?
Yeah, nothing on the side. Was going through some of my records from this year the other day. Realized that I am 2-12 betting Minnesota Wild unders this year. I know Moreto and I were betting those for a while. So, no, I'm not going to do that again. Just get it done with. Send these teams both.
Okay. So, money, you sending these guys home as well?
Yeah, it's time to go home. I think and you could make a case for the under in this game, but it's just one of those things where, like, why?
Don't right? do it.
There's no reason to. I mean, yeah, I will pass. And, like, Seattle's been after me all year anyway, so I'm not gonna mess around with that in the last game of the season. So send these guys home.
Okay, send them home. Get it over with. One of the games tonight here that would normally be exciting and would be exciting if it was the playoffs, but I really could not give less of a fuck about tonight to close out the regular season would be the Edmonton Oilers Colorado Avalanche game. Here we see Colorado -164, the Oilers +147, and I feel like the price between the two right now is telling of what we might see between these teams here tonight, just based on lineup wise and maybe effort wise between the Avalanche and the Oilers, and 6.5s right across the board right now. So, money, I know this is one we would normally be excited to watch. Do you have any level of excitement for this matchup tonight?
Not excitement, but I do have some betting interest. I'm pretty certain that we'll know what we get about the Oilers, that what we'll get from the Oilers, right? We're probably not going to see anybody, right? So I think that that's pretty certain. There is some narratives around Colorado. I know that they haven't been happy with their play lately. So I wonder, even though I expect them to rest some guys, I wonder to what extent that they'll do it, right? So obviously at this number, I can't get behind a play on Colorado. But we have to wait until we get their lineup situation. And it'll tell us if they're taking this game seriously or not, right? So they will sit guys, but if it's not everybody, and if they are seemingly trying to get this win, trying to get like a good feel going into the playoffs, then that's something I want to look at, but not at this number and not right now.
All right, fair enough. Nothing for us here right now on that game, but it might be something that moves in the direction for us to be playable later throughout the day as we get news coming out. Albert, is that kind of same boat that you're in right now?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that there was a game I woke up this morning and saw a lot of tweets about, like, taking abs in regulation because the Oilers are going to rest everyone. And they certainly could pull a few guys, but they don't really have cap space to rest everybody, right? Like, I don't think they can go what Carolina did the other day, for example. So right. A couple of those guys are going to play, even if, like, and I think it's kind of baked into this price that, like, McDavid probably won't play, Draisaitl won't play, but it's not like you're going to see the top 9 guys all sit or anything. You just kind of got to sit and wait and see who's playing here.
Okay, there you go. Keep it moving. 4 games down, 2 to go. The next two should be exciting ones for us to break down here. The Vegas Golden Knights -357 hosting the Anaheim Ducks +330 right now. Best price available on the Ducks. We see totals of 6, 5.5s heavily juiced. There's a couple plus monies on the over 6.5. So this is just dependent on what books you have or what you have access to right now. Matt, what's the thought process going into this game and where the numbers currently set at right now?
I mean, Vegas actually has the reason to play here. Anaheim, they stink. I'm just so done with some of these bad teams, but, like, I'm not going to lay -350 or anything. Thought about the under, not really interested, just nothing.
Okay. So money, anything for you?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know what Vegas wants, right? Like, or if they even care, right? They can, if they win, so I believe how it works is that if they win, they're going to play the Oilers and if they lose in any fashion and the Kings win, then Vegas plays Dallas, right? So
I don't know. They need to get less points than LA to play.
Yeah. So, but so like, I don't know where Vegas's mindset is, or if they even care, right? So, this is another game where, if they have a morning skate, we'll have to monitor that. We'll have to monitor the coach speak and kind of decipher that and read between the lines there after heading into the game as well. So this game comes down to what Vegas wants to do. And then the other layer is that you have to decide, like what Albert was saying, that like, even if Vegas doesn't care necessarily about this game, do you really want to bet the Ducks? Right. So, into the plus 300s here, if Vegas doesn't care and if Anaheim looks like they care, maybe I can make a case to get a little bit disgusting, but it's gonna have to take a lot. Like all the lineup information, all the coach speak information would have to line up perfectly between these two teams for me to get there. And I'm just at this point, I'm hoping I don't have to.
All right. Final game of the night we'll take a look at here. The Chicago Blackhawks on the road against the LA Kings. LA minus 350. The Blackhawks are on plus 300, plus 302 best price available. And we see mostly sixes across the board for the total in this one. Matt, anything that you would want to do here tonight? Or have we finalized the betting that we're going to do on the show here today?
I mean, I'm somewhat close to the under here. That's certainly where I would look. If anything, Chicago can't score. LA's very happy to play a 2-1 kind of game here, but it just raises all the same questions, right? Like, I don't expect you're going to get a playoff level defensive effort here from the Kings, who are in a pretty similar boat to Vegas, except their game may not matter. Like, if Vegas wins, then the Kings game's irrelevant. So do they sit some guys? Do they take it seriously? Do they just want to play a wide open game before we get to the playoffs? Just too many variables for me.
So money, anything for you here?
No, I'm in the same boat. I think, even if lineup information comes out, I think there's not much that's going to change here for me with this particular game. Maybe the Kings want to play the Oilers. They go for the win. I don't know. Right. So there's a lot of things in the air here. So, for that, I will pass on this game as well.
And the funny thing with this one is, like, sorry, we're going to get most likely both teams full NHL lineups. And I think, I mean, I'll certainly speak for myself. This game's a month ago. Like, I'm betting this under for sure. A plus money under 5.5 with the Blackhawks and Kings. It's just like, even with, and that's the tough part of these end of the season games, is like, even with the same lineups, you just have no idea what this is going to be like. Like, it's just not going to be the same game that plays out.
Right. Well, there you go. That'll do it for our regular season coverage as far as today's games go. If you want to see playoff previews and everything like that, you got to subscribe to the channel and turn on notifications. It's not going to be live. We'll have pre-recorded videos popping out here on this channel, breaking everything down, finding best prices, finding all the stuff across for every single series that's going on in the first round, second round, third, and then into the Stanley Cup final. We'll be breaking it all down right here on this channel with different creators from across the show Monday through Friday, helping us dig into everything and give out best bets, maybe different ways to approach it. Maybe it's not just this team to win the series, but it's exact series price. It's finding best prices available on those and taking advantage of some of those unique markets. We're going to have many different perspectives from everybody in different ways to approach these. So you're going to want to see those. Those videos will be coming out starting later today, so you don't have to wait that long to get them. Final thing before we go here, last night, obviously, we saw Austin Matthews comes up just short of 70. I've talked about it a little bit, and Moretto talked about it as well. I don't think it ultimately matters that much in terms of what it says for the season that he had. It's one goal. It's one goal away from 70. That being said, 69, pretty funny number to finish the season with, but finishing one away from 70, it's just like that plateau of like, oh, you could have had the 70 mark at the end of your career. You look back, yeah, it's just going to be a little bit of a disappointing thing to see, oh, he didn't get to 70 that year, assuming that he never gets there and has that opportunity again. I saw tweets yesterday about Steven Stamkos. The one year he was at 59, the Lightning let him play in the last game, he scored 60. Just puts you into a different tier. You feel like a part of a different conversation. So ultimately, as much as Moretto is correct that it doesn't really matter, that's just my thoughts on the Matthews coming up short 70, short on 70 situation. I don't know if you guys have any different perspectives there.
I think you missed a chance to make a great pun when you said 69 is pretty good. I think it's a different four-letter word that you could have used there. But no, I mean, look, I don't think it's
nice.
Like you could tell. I mean, yeah, exactly. You could tell. Hell, but mattered to him, right? Like, and to his teammates. Like I don't even Albert's remember how many shots on goal he ended up money. 12, like 70 that would have been, right? Ah, oh, shit. Did there I freeze?
Yeah,
I don't know what you were saying. I was like trying to smile politely, but I nodded and stuff, but I don't know what you were saying. I was trying to read your lips and I couldn't either.
Yeah, I think you're good now, Albert.
Yeah, you're good. You're fine.
Did I cut out like right at the beginning of that?
Yeah, pretty much.
I was just going to say like that one that he brought the crossbar, like what a 70th goal that one would have been, right?
Yeah.
Like the one where he kind of sort of got tripped and like came back up and just ripped it off the crossbar, but like, you could tell it meant something to him. His teammates were obviously really trying to force feed him the puck all night. But at the end of the day, like you could tell he was a little upset on the bench after the game. Like the shots of his parents in the crowd were pretty great. I think my favorite one was when TJ Brody scored on the delayed penalty and like his dad in the stands like immediately cheered and then was like, wait, shit, I'm not getting a power play now.
Yeah.
but no, I mean, like, you could tell on the bench with him and Keith after the game, like, he clearly wanted it, and it was clearly on everybody's mind, but at the same time, like, they have bigger fish to fry coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that what probably hurts more is that, like, he had, like, 40 shots on goal in that game, and it was Tompkins in net that he was stymied by. I think you're right. I think, like, later on in his career, you probably look back and, like, you know, like kind of see like what could have been, but I think the Leafs can make it right. I think that they can put up a 69 banner with Matthew's name on it, right? And like, I think that would make a lot of things right.
I think that would be an all-time thing that might even put the Leafs franchise in some good graces with some people who don't really like them right now. Put up a banner that says 69.
I would, if they did that, the Leafs would climb the depth chart to my second favorite team.
Wow. Right? That means shows something coming from you. Moretto, not so much. Those things change every day, but you so money.
Yeah,
that means something.
Because that shows so much creativity and so much like out of the box thinking. Like if you have a 69 banner up there, man, you've got love for me, man.
Yeah, I think that's the way
Moretto might bring him from 33 to 32 on his favorite team list. So.
yeah, exactly.
He's already got the Utah team above the Leafs. So.
Yeah. Last thing that I want to talk about there, as Matt just touched on briefly, is the Utah team. The Coyotes play their last game in Arizona there last night. There was some stuff that comes up that's just pathetic too, as well in all of that. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the tweets about and the videos about the fan who went to Gila River Arena when that arena shut down before they moved to Mullet Arena and found Shane Doan's retired banner in the dumpster out back and took it and kept it and brought it home. Like that, just the whole thing about how everything was run there. It's really unfortunate. It is unfortunate for the fans. I mean, you know, you talk about some of those kids who grew up and that's their favorite team. They have no idea why they're losing their favorite team. Kids who grew up to go on to play in the NHL. I mean, we see it firsthand here with the Maple Leafs. Auston Matthews, Matthew Knies, if there's no team there, those guys might not grow up playing hockey coming from that area. So from that perspective, it is unfortunate, but I mean, Albert, you've got I'm Sorry Arizona in the title of your things today. You talked about it a little bit in the group chat yesterday about what was going on the broadcast. Just kind of if you want to touch on what happened and what's going on with Arizona and their move to Utah here now?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly kind of crazy, right? And like, even as we sit here, like a Leafs fan, a Rangers fan, a Canucks fan, like, let's be real, none of us are ever going to have to deal with this.
Yeah.
But just kind of like watching that broadcast last night, like it didn't even feel like there was a game going on. Like the game felt like it didn't even matter. And it's like, that just isn't something that you feel very often kind of watching one of those games. But it was crazy, right? Like after the game, like obviously kind of last game of the year, you get everybody on the ice and just, it just had such a weird feel to it. And you kind of like listen to these announcers the whole game and like you can visibly tell that they're all trying to hold back tears. And it just, it's such a surreal scene. And I don't know, like, it's really sad, right? Like kind of what you said, like Austin Matthews, Matthew Nyes, like obviously Josh Doan now up with the Coyotes. Like if there's no team there, none of those guys probably ever play. And it's just like, a lot of people like to make jokes about the Coyotes, like, oh, they can barely fill like a college arena. Like it's all visiting fans, everything like that. And they've just been run so terribly for such a long time. But like you said, like at the end of the day, these are kids that just lost their team. And like, I mean, I'll speak for myself when I say, like, if I didn't have teams around and if I wasn't like growing up in a region in a family that was like big into hockey, I certainly never put skates on. So from that aspect, like, it's really sad. And I think a lot of us that do this, whether it's like working in hockey or betting on hockey a lot, like, I think we can lose perspective from time to time of like what these teams actually do for like a community and everything. And like hockey is supposed to be fun, you know? And like I said, like none of us are ever going to deal with this. Like all the big market teams are never going anywhere. But just to get a little bit more off topic, like I've been working in hockey, or I worked in hockey basically right after I came out of college. And I just tried to give as much back as I could, because like something like this, again, you kind of take it for granted. But like one of the favorite things that I personally do now, obviously kind of at MSG, is like we'll do these skates, these private skates with like companies and stuff, and you'll have a bunch of little kids on the ice. And just kind of thinking about it for me, right? Like if I'm like 6, 7, 8 years old and I'm skating on the ice of my favorite NHL team, like that's one of the coolest things that you're ever going to do as a kid, right? And like that look that you see on their faces, it really never ever wears off and it never gets old. And I've certainly been fortunate to be able to do kind of a lot of cool things. And I just like want others to kind of have some of those same experiences. So I don't know. I don't know if we have any Coyotes fans here, but if you do, like, I know that we kind of all feel for you. I certainly do. I really hope that you guys get a team back soon. I think it's kind of a really badly kept secret at this point that hockey's probably going to come back to Arizona in the next, I don't know, 5 to 8 years. But it sucks. It sucks. I really do feel for you guys.
No, I don't know. So Money, if you had anything to add there about the situation in Arizona and them moving.
Yeah, I think Matt summed it up personally. I completely agree. It's the ownership and the way that the NHL dealt with it is one thing, but it's the kids, right? It's like the people that are impacted by how long this team was there and like the team leaving. It does remind me of when the Grizzlies left. I think that was a big deal here, and the Grizzlies did have grassroots support, and Arizona has even more of that because they've been there longer. Arizona has developed NHL players, and all of a sudden that all gets taken away, right? Like once a team comes into a market, then there's rinks being built, there's like jobs created, right? There's like all these things which suddenly get taken away, like just all of a sudden. So I don't give a shit about the owners, I don't give a shit about Gary Bettman, but it's the fans and it's the impact to the community that like is that's sad.
And final thing that I wanted to add just quickly on this, because people were asking it in the chat about the banner in the dumpster when they cleaned out Gila River Arena. I was reading reports from Coyotes reporters yesterday and into the morning here. What happened was when they cleaned it out, they took the banner, they offered it to the Coyotes and the management and whatever. No one came to collect it, and it ended up in the garbage. And that's just another example of like what was going on with that organization. So a fan ended up going, a fan collected the banner, kept it, and was able to return it personally to Shane Doan last night, I think either ahead of the game or during the game. Like, but like that just kind of, it tells you the state of what was going on there with them.
Yeah. I mean, like to that point, right? Like I'm notably not a fan of Paul Bissonnette. Like we don't need to go into that right now, but if you haven't seen his comments on this last night on TNT, like I urge you to go do so, right? Like he obviously kind of spent like a good part of his NHL career down there and kind of knows that area very well. And just to hear him kind of on national TV be like, look, I know these owners are probably going to get another shot. I hope they don't. And just kind of be just straight up like that. Like that was, he did a really good job of that, I feel like, because I mean, that situation is just a mess. And like so many said, right, like with the Grizzlies, like the closest thing I have to anything like that was when the Lowell Lock Monsters and Lowell Devils left. And that was a minor league team years ago, right? Like that's just, it's just hard. It's hard for any of us to sit here and like understand what a lot of these people are going through. And it's just, it's really a sad situation. And like, for me personally, I'll say like Monday night, like I'm at MSG, they win the President's Trophy. I'm down on the ice. And he kind of knew this news, and like I'm looking around and all I'm thinking is like, what if this did happen to one of my teams? Like, what if I'm not standing here looking up into the crowd of a packed house, everyone going nuts because the team wasn't even here anymore? And that's kind of it, right? Is like, it's one thing for like the city to lose a team and everything, but like all the kids growing up that maybe don't watch hockey now. And like you said, with Matthews and Nyes and Doan, like, I don't know. It just kind of really sucks for that next generation that may not ever get into hockey now out there.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for us on today's show, breaking down all six games on tonight's schedule for the final day of the regular season for the 2023-2024 season. We appreciate everyone who stuck along with us all the way throughout this year, but that's not it for us as far as content goes. We'll still be doing the daily live shows Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, breaking things down at least for the first round and probably the second round there. As we get into the end of the second round, as we get into the end of, or as we get into the third round, and then obviously the cup finals, it's a little bit of a different situation for us, as I'm sure you guys can understand, because A, games aren't played every single day, and B, it becomes a point where there's one game on at a time. So like, it's not going to be a daily thing as it goes on further into the playoffs, but you can expect the same kind of programming for at least the next 2 weeks, effectively 2 weeks minimum here. And as far as playoff previews go, they're not going to be live, but they'll be coming out in video form here on the channel over the next couple of days, starting here today. So you're going to want to be subscribed, turn on notifications. You don't want to miss those. For today's best bets, we've got two of them for you guys to close out this season. The Canucks and the Winnipeg Jets under 5.5 plus 105. The Sharks and the Flames over 6.5 plus 100. Those are our two best bets for tonight. Canucks, Jets under 5.5 plus 105. And the Sharks, Flames over 6.5 plus 100. So those are our best bets. If you want to see them yourself, you can head over to the BetStamp app in the Find Better section as Edgework HQ. That'll do it for us for the regular season. No live show tomorrow morning. Just a reminder to everybody, the playoffs don't start till Saturday here now. So no live show for that. Imagine we'll just still have playoff game bets that'll come out on Saturday morning there on our Twitter at Edgework HQ. You can find. But thank you so much to everyone who's tuned in all season. So money. Matt, thank you guys for doing this all year long as well. We'll see you guys back here next week for the playoff stuff. We'll see you in the playoff preview videos that are going to be coming out over the next couple of days. But very much appreciate it and appreciate everyone in the chat. That'll do it for us here. We'll see you guys back here on Monday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Enjoy the games tonight and good luck on your bets.